As much as I pick on Bill, I keep thinking one of these days I'm going to start moving this thing back here and you're going to see Bill get up and walk to the back. So that if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to please open up once again to the book of Malachi, chapter 1. The book of Malachi, chapter 1. We began this study last Sunday night. Were we in here last Sunday night? Was that 2 weeks ago? I don't know. We began it anyways. Was it last Sunday? Okay. And we got it. We worked our way through the first seven verses of Malachi chapter 1. And we're looking at the comparisons of the state of Israel in as far as their relationship to God goes, to what the modern day church is in, and there's so many comparisons and issues that were going on within the nation of Israel at the time, to the point of being very similar to circumstances in the modern day church, and we had worked our way through these first seven verses, and we're ready to begin verse 8. So let's pick up our reading there. Well, let's read verses 6, 7, and then begin our study at verse 8. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then, if I am a father, where is my honor? This is God speaking, okay? And if I am a master, where is my respect, says the Lord of hosts to you? O priests, do you O priests who despise my name, but you say, how have we despised thy name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar, but you say, how have we defiled thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is not despised. And now look at what's taking place. This God then begins to respond. He says, but when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly? Says the Lord of hosts. Now, remember we had talked about what was taking place, how within the priesthood, what they were doing would be people would bring good lambs or good goats or good bulls, whatever they were bringing for the sacrifice. And the priest would, at that point, he would replace theirs with something else to offer and kind of keep the good stuff. And that was offensive to God because God expects the best that we have. And he has a right to expect that. And as that was taking place, you remember that's kind of what took place when Jesus cleared the temple. What was going on there was there were people who would bring their sheep and the priests at that time would say, well, you know what, this isn't as good a sheep as what it could be, but we have a perfect one over here. And if you just want to give us, and I'll use American money, if you want to give us an extra $30 with your sheep, we'll give you one of these good ones that can be offered on the altar. And so, what would the people have to do? You know, they would have to do that. And then that sheep would suddenly show up in the good sheep bin. With the next person that would come along. And you see, that was becoming a very common practice. And Jesus, as he observed this, had a fit. And he came in and he says, my dad's house is to be a house of prayer, and you've turned it into a den of thieves. In other words, you're stealing from these people. And so he throws the tables and he, you know, has a fit. Now, it's an interesting thing. A person was to give the best of what they had. All right? That's what they were to give. When the average Joe would come in for his sacrifice for his family, the only thing the scripture said is the absolute best that you have. That's what is perfect. It may not be perfect in everyone else's eyes, but if it's your best, God accepted that. But you see, the priests were making money out of that type of a thing. And that's what disturbed Jesus. Modern day church, we are robbing from God when we don't give Him the best of who we are. And the best of who we are is our whole heart. If we're not willing to give God the best we have, our sacrifices are defiled, just like these sacrifices. You notice what God says? He's talking to the priests here. And he says, man, you guys are putting the blind on the altar. You guys are putting the lame on the altar. You guys are putting the sick, those that aren't going to make it anyhow, you're offering them as the blood sacrifices for the people. Then he says this, why not give that stuff to Obama? Well, not necessarily Obama, but you get the idea. How many people here, you know, would be having the president, whoever it may be, if you were having the president over to your house, wouldn't offer him the best seat? But we would do that out of at least respect for the office. Right? You know, but we would still put the best that we have out. God says, if you do that for them, why won't you do it for me? Why won't you give me the best? Give your governor the blind sheep. See how he treats you. Give your governor the sick lamb. See how he treats you. And yet you have no problem with disrespecting me. Folks, when we don't give God the best of who we are, we are disrespecting God. What better could God have given than His own Son? I'm open. What could God have given that was better than Jesus? Nothing, is there? Absolutely nothing. Why do we give God the leftovers? Modern day church is in many ways no different than the nation of Israel 400 years before Christ. The nation of Israel had fallen to the point that the priesthood held no honor, no respect. Didn't respect God. They didn't respect their fellow man. They didn't respect God's law. There's no respect. And let me tell you, when we disrespect the law of God or the word of God, we are disrespecting God. And so it's important that we realize what is at stake here. Verse 9. But now, will you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? You see how the Lord is now taking and putting himself in the third person? He's putting himself in their shoes, saying, see how wonderful I am? See what I have given? Surely God will bless. God says, no, I won't. I will not bless a mess. I refuse to bless a mess. When we're not going to give the best of who we are, God's not going to bless our lives. Verse 10. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. That's pretty blunt. You know what God's saying? Why waste the wood? You know, because of the altar and fire, you know, and lighting the wood and lighting the sacrifice. God's saying, why waste the wood? You're going to give me the blind sheep? I'm not going to bless that. You're going to give me the sick sheep? I'm not going to bless that. You're going to give me the lame? I'm not going to bless that. And you see, in the middle of God's heart and in the middle of God's mind, he's looking at Calvary. You see, he is already at the point as if Calvary has already taken place. And he has given the best that he has. And when you look through some of the Old Testament prophecies and see what these prophets had to write, look at Isaiah and what Isaiah has to say about the crucifixion. And it's as though the crucifixion has already taken place. Because before the cross was planted on the hill, it was planted in the heart of God. Because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who was slain before the world was ever formed. You see, God has always given his best. That's what he's asking from you and I. He is not asking from us half-hearted commitment. He is demanding of us whole commitment. Do you remember how Jesus put it? Jesus put it like this. If you'll follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. If you're going to be my disciple, deny yourself. In other words, give of your best. Give your whole self. Take up your cross. Die to your will, to your passions, to your desires, in order that you might accomplish mine. And follow me. Because that's what Jesus did. It's exactly what he did. Even in that Garden of Gethsemane, when he's having that prayer before he is arrested and before he's crucified, he's going, "Oh, Father, if there's some other way, but if not, thy will be done." God, your will. Father, your will is more important than mine. That's the type of commitment that God is asking from us to our best. Are you going to teach a Sunday school class? God wants your best. Are you going to be an employee somewhere? God wants your best. Because, see, that's a part of a sacrifice to him as well. Are you going to sing in the choir? God wants your best. Are you going to preach a sermon? God wants your best. Whatever. God wants your best. But now, will you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us with such an offering on your part? Will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Now catch this. Verse 10. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates. It's an interesting phrase. You know what he's saying? If there were one among you who was a person of integrity and who would honor what my commands are, who would honor everything that I have laid before you, if there was just one. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. Verse 11. For from the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying, look, Israel, you have been my chosen people, and yet this is the mess that you're living. So I'm going to be made available to the whole world. And my name will be lifted up in the whole world. Remember, that was kind of an insult to the Jews, because they had gotten that superiority complex. We are God's chosen people, therefore, you Gentiles, you're dogs. You're dogs. And in fact, that's what Jews called Gentiles. You Gentile dogs. Wasn't much respect there. And so God says, you know what? They'll honor me anyways. At least I'll get from them their best. And my name will be lifted up throughout the world. And folks, for 2,000 years, that has been the case until you look at the current state of the church. Because the current state of the church does not honor the name of God. How tragic that is. Verse 12. But you are profaning it, profaning his name, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its fruit, its food is to be despised. There's only junk at God's house. That's the interpretation. There's only junk there. You also say, my, how tiresome it is. How I get sick of having to go to continually offer sacrifices. How I get sick and tired of doing God's will. How I get sick and tired of, you know, in the modern day church, it would be, you know, singing the same old songs. How I get sick and tired of doing the same old thing. That's the state of the modern day church. It really is. Let's do something new. You also say, my, how tiresome it is. And you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery, and what is lame or sick, so you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? Why should I take your offering when you're withholding from me the best that you have? But cursed be the swindler. Wow. But cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, I'm going to give this to God. I'm going to give this to God. But sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. I am high and lifted up. Don't give me the cheap stuff. Give me the best. Don't give me the overflow of who you are. Give me your best. Don't give me the lip service. Give me the whole heart. Don't give me less than your absolute best. For I am feared in the nations. The word feared there means revered and respected. Children of Israel, you don't respect me. Remember how that came out? A son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Then he comes out and he says, my name's feared among the nations. I get honor from them. I get respect from them. But chosen seed of Israel, chosen race of God, you just give me garbage. How can I bless a mess? Folks, it's important that we give to God the best of what we are. Not the runoff, the best of what we are. The second chapter, we see that God reaches out with his big hand to slap down the priests. Remember, that's where it starts. If the priest is not going to honor God and honor God's word, the people won't. All right? That's the way it is. And when you look at the state of the modern day church, with all of the compromise, is the modern day church honoring God? Then why should the people? Look at the scandal that took place in the Catholic Church. Were those priests honoring God? Then how can we expect the people in the pews to honor God? Look at at what's taken place in Protestant churches with compromise everywhere you turn. You know, it's not a big deal to ordain homosexuals. Let's vote on it and get it done. I'm tired of listening to it. Let's just do it and settle the issue. How can we expect the people to stand up for truth and righteousness when the pastors won't? How can we expect the people to honor commitment if pastors won't? We can't. State of Israel, 400 years B.C., state of church, right before the return. So the next event on the calendar is called the rapture of the church. But I find it interesting. Not everyone gets to go. But those who love his appearing and those who are pure. Read it in the Word. When Jesus Christ comes back, he's coming back for a pure bride. He's not coming back for a bride that incorporates all kinds of gods in their worship and in their lifestyle and worships those idols. He's coming back for a church that is without spot, for a church that is without wrinkle. He's coming back for those who give their best to him. That's who he's coming back for. One of the prophets in the Old Testament, I can't remember if it's Joel, but it also happened when Moses went up in the mountain. But there's a verse of scripture that says, and the people rose up to play. And not to worship. Folks, when church is all about entertainment, we're missing the boat. I'm sorry. When church has boiled down to a make me feel good, we're missing the boat. Church needs to be honest worship of the full heart in praise and adoration to God. Not a three-ring circus, but genuine worship of the heart before God. Not mealy-mouthed, make-me-feel-good stuff. but the truth. As I shared this morning, Jesus never said it was going to be easy. He said he comes with a sword. And folks, we need to let him do his surgery on us so that we're pure before him and take from our lives that which hinders our walk with Christ. Would you please stand? Next week we're going to start on, 2 weeks from tonight. Next week I'll be holding revival services over at Turtle Point. Appreciate your prayers for that, if you would. Need to have the Lord's mind on everything that gets shared there, and you can be a great part of that by praying for us, and I would appreciate that. 2 weeks from tonight, we'll begin on this second chapter. All right? Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, your word's tough. But Lord, we know that your word's truth. And we know that your word is filled with love and forgiveness and mercy. But your word is also filled with vengeance. You are a God of love, but you are a God of vengeance. Above all things, you're a God of purity and honor and integrity. We're a people who fail. Please, Father, help us to honor you and to live lives that reflect your grace and your glory. And we'll give you thanks and praise. For it's in the awesome name of Jesus we pray. Amen.